Let's talk Celtics. To do it, we turn to our friend John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, and the Locked On Celtics podcast. So, John, how much longer before Brad Stevens packs it up and goes back to college?
many years from now to watch his son play a game as a college basketball player. That's the next time he'll be. I know a lot of people are want to send him back to Indiana. Some Celtics fans, some Hoosiers fans, but he very clearly said earlier today that he's not interested. It's very flattering, and so on and so forth. All the right things. But yeah, of course, all the Indiana basketball fans are just clamoring for the grand slam hire of Brad Stevens.
Very interesting too to see the response of people. The Celtics obviously struggling this season, and those people who think if it was only like the old days, boy, Red wouldn't have let this happen. And you talked about this on social media today. First of all, that's not quite how it worked back in the old days.
No, Red was a coach just like any coach that, you know, you knew who you could yell at, you knew who you had to, you know, kind of cajole a little bit, who you had to kind of pump up. Every coach did that. My college coach did that. My college coach, I was the Tommy Heinsohn, like Tommy to Red, where Red just dumped on him mercilessly. That was part of my role in college because some of the guys on the team just, they wouldn't have responded well. Coaches do that at every level. And I know Celtics mythology is fun, and we love to bask in it because that's part of the fun of being a Celtics fan. But the reality is not exactly what we paint that picture to be. And life in the NBA, especially since NBA salaries have grown to what they've been and the money has grown to what it's been, The dynamic has changed. Players have power. Players have agency. They, you know, free agency allows them to leave. And so take it to this current situation. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I mean, Jaylen Brown's in the first year of an extension. Jason Tatum's not even in his second contract yet. They still have power on this team. And everybody recognizes that. I mean, it's just a matter of the head coach nowadays is a lot more of a coworker in a way. Like, maybe more middle manager of sorts, because yeah, you have to answer to him, but there are so many layers above him that you're really working together more than you're working, you know, underneath a coach. And the coach's job is to direct certain parts of the game and sub in and out. But at the same time, you do see players say, no, I don't want to come out with my second foul, or no, I'm good. Just let me in for two more minutes, or, you know, all of these things, a coach suggesting a play and then the player saying, no, I don't want to do that. Let's try this because I see this on the floor or whatever. And the coach ripping it up. Like, that happens everywhere around the league, and it's been happening. And it's not the old days, man, where players worked second jobs and you could tell a player to, you know, go take a hike and you'd have no choice. This is a different time.
Yeah, and it's not to say that somebody like a Red Auerbach wouldn't adapt to the situation, but the skill set, as you mentioned, for head coaches today is very different.
Yeah, look, it's just a different atmosphere, a different game. The players are different. They train differently. Their calendar is different. They train year-round because they are paid so handsomely. They hire trainers, and they have a regimen and a schedule. It's a 365-day thing. And you just heard Kevin McHale, and he was on a podcast a couple weeks ago or last week. He was talking about, like, you come out of a season, you're like, I just don't want to do anything for a few months. I need to rest. And then they would use training camp and the early part of the season to get back into shape. That's how it used to be. It used to be like that in baseball. Guys would come in with their beer guts and try to work those off during spring training. Like, that's how old athletes used to be. Now, in basketball, with the three-pointer, and with guys being able to shoot from 35 feet, you know, and beyond, the strategies, the everything is so different. Red was the only coach. Like, he wasn't just the head coach. He was the only coach. Now, you look at the Celtics bench, there's like three rows of coaches. Like, it's wild how much strategy is now involved in the game, how much player development is involved in today's game. Because you get these guys at 19 years old. And that's the other thing. You get these guys at 19 years old. Larry Bird came into the league when he was, what, 23?
Yeah.
So it's just different.
On another topic, and you guys addressed this on the podcast, could it be that there are some trade targets on the Celtics that other teams are interested in?
Well, I think the Celtics have some targets that other teams could covet. But one guy that I've been talking about, Tristan Thompson, for a while. Now, he's out tonight with, you know, he's in the health and safety protocol. So I don't know if he's tested positive for COVID or if he's contact tracing. But there is a report that Toronto might be interested in him. They need some help behind Chris Boucher, a little bit more muscle, a little bit more rebounding. Aaron Baines hasn't exactly been that guy. So the Celtics could pull a swap with Toronto. They could do a straight swap for Aaron Baines. That gets them a guy making $2 million less. They could get out of his contract if they wanted to 1 year earlier. And he obviously knows the system. Everybody here loves Aaron Baines. And, you know, he could come right in and maybe kind of help out as a third-string guy if he understands that he's coming in as the third-string guy.
We're just a couple of weeks from at least some fans returning to the Garden. Does that change the dynamic at all for the players?
With what? Say that again?
With having fans in the stands.
Oh, sorry. You cut out there for
a
second. Fans are just pivotal for these guys. You hear Brad Stevens talking about, like, there are fans, they've had fans on the road now for the past couple of weeks, and now the only place that they don't have fans is at home. So, you know, Brad was asked on his radio appearance earlier today, are you guys excited to have fans? And the question kind of kept going. But before even the S in fans came out, he was like, yes. Yes, we are. We're very happy about that. The players, they get some juice from the fans. You make a great play. There are a lot of times this season where, you know, someone catches a dunk at the Garden and, you know, there's no reaction other than the bench. I mean, there's no carryover. You know how it goes, man. There's 19,000 people in that building. Rob Williams catches a lob. The anticipation, you hear that, and then, oh, and everybody goes nuts. And it's all, as you come down and get another stop and he's running in transition, there's more anticipation. But players feel that. You know on the floor that anticipation is coming, and you want to get that reaction. You want to feed that response. So that gives you that little adrenaline boost. I got to tell you that to get that, even from 12% capacity and maybe 3,000 fans, just to get that and have somebody in the stands to play to, those guys they're very, very much looking forward to it.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, thanks as always. Hope you have a good week. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll check in next Tuesday.
My pleasure. Talk to you then.